We just thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and be glad in it, Father. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, our teacher, our guide. We thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear. And you give us a heart to understand what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. In this culture of honor, we're going to keep stressing and stressing and stressing that this culture of honor is a supernatural culture. And we're expressing that, we're pointing it out, and we're going to keep saying it until it drops in your spirit, until you know it as you know how to breathe. In this culture, one of the things that we have to understand is that Jesus himself modeled the Christian life for us. We have to come to a total conviction in this, that Jesus modeled this supernatural culture for us. We started last week by beginning some of the key characteristics of an apostolic environment and a culture. In this apostolic environment and culture, and an apostolic environment focused on heaven, allowing prayer, worship, miracles, signs, and wonders to become part of our normal and our daily lives. The apostolic role is not designed to address directly the needs of the people, but it is seeking what's going on in heaven and bringing that to earth. As I was beginning to study and get ready for this class, the Holy Spirit arrested me, and whenever he begins to talk to me, he always gives me certain things. So we are talking about the culture of honor. We're talking about the supernatural culture. But he says, stop and go back and pick up some things. Like he told the apostles when they got ready to leave. He told them when he got ready to leave to go back to heaven, one of the things he said, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father that I'm going to send to you. So what he was saying, he said, don't leave this part of the culture of honor until everybody get a full grasp of what God is saying about this supernatural culture. One of the things he said is the only way we as a body of Christ is going to operate in this supernatural culture the way Jesus did, we're going to have to know from the beginning what happened and how he did it. And so what I did, I found some scriptures. I went back and I got some scriptures. First one I want you to turn to is Luke 24 and 49. When the Spirit of God began to speak, he always bring up scriptures and he won't let me get past. He won't go any further. And so I'm going to listen to him. I'm going to do like Jesus. I must do like he said do. And then when I do like he said, then I know I got my supernatural help up here with me. I can't do it by myself. Amen. And so what he's saying here in Luke 24 and 49, and this is what he said. He said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Tarry. He said, tarry, tarry. He said, stay at that place until you get a full revelation of what you're supposed to have. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Full conviction that Jesus himself modeled this supernatural culture for us. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. That was in Acts Luke 24 and 49. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, you have heard of me. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore come together and ask him of that saying, he said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Kingdom represents government. Are you going to put us back in power? Are you going to put Israel back over this whole thing? You know, the Babylonian system was in charge. And so he said, are you going to put us back in charge? Are you going to make the government, make us the head of the government at this time? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the of seasons which the Father has put in his own power. So he was, talking at this time, the disciples was thinking of a natural government. Jesus himself was talking about a spiritual government. So when we talk about God's government, his supernatural abilities, we're talking about a spiritual government, not a natural government. He's not saying he's going to overthrow the natural government to put his government back in place. But what he's doing, he's reestablishing his kingdom in the earth realm, and we'll operate accordingly in that kingdom. In verse 8, he goes on, he explains to them, he said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So this power is to operate in this supernatural kingdom that he's reestablishing on the earth rim. What he's beginning to do in this kingdom is bring heaven to earth. He's establishing his kingdom here in the earth rim. And so in this kingdom, you're going to need power to operate in it. And that power is going to be the Holy Spirit's power. He said, don't leave this area. Don't tarry. He said, tarry here until we receive this. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3. And we're just going to rebuild, reestablish, go over some stuff. The Word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we want to make sure when you get out of here, you have a working relationship with this culture of honor. So Jesus was an example. He establishes, he told the disciples what they must do. And so he said, if you must do it, then this is what I did. I had to do it the same way. So here in, I'll tell you what, go to Ephesians first. We're going to see that first, and then we're going to go to Matthew. Our basic foundational scripture here, we have three of them. Ephesians 2:19 and 20. We have 1 Corinthians 12:28. And we have Ephesians 4:11. So always remember those particular passages, scriptures, when we as we are setting up, reestablishing God's government in the earth realm, and Isaiah 9:6-7. We need to know those two. Those are the basic scriptures since we are reestablishing God's government in the earth. And again, I say it is a supernatural government, is a God setting up his kingdom in the earth realm. So here in verse Ephesians 2:19, it says, now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built up on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ himself. So that's, if he's the chief cornerstone, then everything that we build up on must be built up like him. Everything that he did, we must do also the same, exact same way that he did it. He said, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Verse 19, I go back and look at it. He said, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. And when I think of citizens, I think of a government. I think of I'm being a citizen of a particular country, a particular kingdom. And in this fellow citizen, we're fellow citizens of the household of God and the kingdom of God. And so what we're being done is being built up as a habitation of God through the Spirit, not in the natural, but in the Spirit. Matthew chapter 3. Jesus set this thing up. The Word of God set it up. And so we want to see how he did it. We're going to get to three. Let's, I tell you, we'll go to nine. Isaiah, he keep arresting me. He said, just do it like I told you to do it. Go to Isaiah chapter 9. Beginning at verse 6, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Verse 7 says, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Now we can go to Matthew 3. And we're going to start reading at verse 11. Here in Matthew 3:13, 3 and 11. And we're going to see what the word of God says here. Verse 11 say, I indeed, this is John the Baptist speaking. He said, I indeed baptize with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He was talking about Jesus. John the Baptist was a forerunner for Jesus. He was telling the people, make straight the way, highway for Jesus to come and his pathway. But he was telling them, he said, now, he said, I'm not the one that's coming. He said, but there's one who cometh after me. He's saying, his shoe latches, I'm not fit to reach down the tie. He's saying that he's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So it's apparently important that we understand that we have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and with fire. We have to have this power in our life. The Holy Spirit is the administrator in the kingdom of heaven, or in the kingdom of God here on earth. So we need this administrator. We need him to do these things in us for us to operate in the kingdom. If we don't have the full strength of the Holy Ghost and power in us, then we are not going to be able to operate in the kingdom the way God set it up from the beginning and begin to see these supernatural acts that took place. Verse 11 says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan and to John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him. John said, I have need to be baptized of you. John the Baptist knew who he was. He said, he forbidden him to come to him to be baptized of him. But then Jesus made a statement here. He said, and Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it be so, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens was open. Remember, we were talking about bringing heaven to earth. So in order for us to operate in this kingdom, as our apostle has been telling us, we have to operate under an open heaven. And so when we're operating under a open heaven, then the Spirit of God can ascend and descend with his blessings, bringing what we need to operate in this kingdom. It's saying Jesus, when he was baptized, went straight up out of the water, and lo, the heavens was open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting up on him. That was the Holy Spirit. That was before anything else happened to him. He had been sent out. He had been called the Son of God. He had already been prophesied that he was going to take the government up on his shoulder, but he had not begun to operate in the kingdom of God yet, as the way God set it up. And so there had to be some things that happened. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting up on him. Verse 17 said, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So what was happening prior to this time? Jesus himself, God had told him that he was going to be the Son of God. He was going to come and he was going to deliver his people, that the government was going to be up on his shoulder. But he had to be trained, just like we who are in the kingdom of God have to be trained. We just can't. Every time we get scripture, every time we get a word from God, we think we can take that word and run out and begin to do it. We can't do that. We have to be developed. As the scriptures in Ephesians 4 tells us that he said he gave gifts unto men, and he gave them apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said for the perfecting of the saints, so the saints can work in the ministry and for the edifying of the body of Christ. So these gifts, these ministry gifts, is for a designed purpose. And like again, I say, it's for the maturing of the saints, perfecting of the saints. That means you have to be mature in the things of God in order to operate in this kingdom. So you have to know what you're doing. Turn to Luke. And let's set up some more foundation here. Luke chapter 4. I tell you what, go to Luke 1 first. And we're going to see this government that he talked about in Isaiah. We're going to see it being established. Luke chapter 1, verse 27. Luke chapter 1, verse 27. And I just want to go back and let you see this government, how God stay established. You're going to see the fulfillment of it, that what happened. Here in Luke chapter 1, verse 27, and the Spirit of God, like I said, again, he arrested me. He said, make sure that you don't leave Jerusalem. Make sure you don't leave this area until we get a full understanding of what the Spirit of God is saying to us as the body of Christ right now. And God said, I need to reestablish my government in the earth realm, but the body of Christ have to have conviction, full conviction that Jesus himself modeled this life and that I am the one who said it in the word of God. Here in Luke chapter 1, verse 27, we've all heard this story before, but we're going to read it in a different context, looking at God's government being established in the earth realm. Here in Luke chapter 1, verse 27, it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled in his saying, and cast in her mind, and what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou art highly favored with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Remember what it said. Say, our son shall be born, and the government shall be up on his shoulder. So at this point, he was talking about Jesus and when he was going to be born. So now we're seeing Jesus coming into the earth realm. He's getting ready to come. Verse 32 say, he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Prophesied in Isaiah 9 and 6 that the government was going to be upon his shoulder. So you're going to put the government on his shoulder. Throne is being established. Kingdom of heaven being reestablished in the earth realm through Jesus Christ. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob. That means that he should rule. He should be in charge of the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. So the kingdom, that's what God told us in Isaiah 9 and 6. It says, you know, of the peace that he should bring, there should be no end. It should be ongoing and ongoing. So we this peace have not been established in the earth realm yet, because God's government has not been re-established in the earth like God established it from the beginning, where he wanted it set up. About 2 years ago, Spirit of God began to speak to our apostle, and one of the things he told him that God was going to reestablish his government. That was long before he accepted his apostleship, that God's going to reestablish his government in the earth realm. And he began to prophesy, began to tell us these things. We didn't know the full extent of it. We didn't know how he was going to do it, but he had told it, and then he began to reveal it to us, what was going to happen as we began to pray and seek God for what it is that he was going to reestablish in the earth realm. This is the government that he was talking about. He wanted to reestablish his government. He set it up from the beginning. He wanted to set up this apostolic paradigm in the earth realm, where the apostles is in a place, the prophets is in a place, the pastors is in a place, the evangelists is in a place, and the teachers in their place. And as we reestablish God's government in the earth realm, we can begin to see this supernatural as it was in the scripture. And like I said, we're not seeing the supernatural, but it's going to take some time. It's going to take some changing of this paradigm. It's going to take some sowing of seeds into you, and we're going to have to grow in this thing. And as we begin to grow, then we can begin to see some things in the kingdom of God. Watch what it says here. And then Mary, verse 34, said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said, the Holy Ghost. So now, the one whose government is up on his shoulder, it was the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost, it tells us right there, the Holy Spirit. So he was the beginning of this thing, the Holy Ghost. He says, shall come up on thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. That shall be called the Son of God. And when I saw that scripture, the first thing I thought about was the scripture of in Romans 8 and 14 to 16. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So if we are being led by the Spirit of God, then we are the sons of God. It goes on to say, and behold, thy cousin. That, you know, right before that, the angel had came to Zechariah and told him that his wife, who was a barren, was going to also have a child. And they was going to call his name John. So in this same process, that was Elizabeth. And so here it says, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son. And in her old age, and in this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. So they say she wasn't going to have any more kids. But the angel came to her and prophesied to her, told her what was going to happen to her. And so then verse 37 says, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. In this kingdom of heaven, in this kingdom that God is reestablishing in the earth realm, there are no impossibilities. And we see in this world system, we'll go to a physician. He give us a bad report. And the first thing they say is there's nothing can be done about it. You get a report of cancer. You know, you got cancers now that there's no cure for. And so, but God has said in this kingdom that he's reestablishing in the earth realm, there are nothing that is impossible. If you can cause a virgin to have a baby without having a man, then anything else besides that is possible. He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so in this kingdom that God is reestablishing in his earth realm, we have to get it in our spirit, in our knower, that we cannot do it ourselves, but we have to have the help of the Holy Spirit to carry these functions out. So in order for her to have this virgin have a baby, she have to have the Holy Ghost in order to impregnate us so she could do it. We have to have the Holy Ghost to impregnate us so we can do these supernatural functions in the earth realm. You see, and Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be with me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. So she said, she got the word of God on it. He prophesied to her. And so whatever God said to her at that time, he said, the Holy Ghost is going to do it. So she heard it. The Holy Ghost revealed to her that, you know, that nothing was impossible. So she told him at that time, be it unto me according to thy word. And so she accepted it. And once she heard it, she received it. And then reception came. And Mary rose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and then into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her cousin, remember? Yeah, she had already went in and like I said, she had present. But watch what happens here. And it came to pass, verse 41, that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And when she got filled with the Holy Ghost, she got a word of knowledge from the Lord. Because Mary had never told her. She's operating now. Now you begin, she began to operate in this kingdom that God has established up. She would say the Holy Ghost came up on her. She got filled with the Holy Ghost. And she began to prophesy some things. And she spoke out with a loud voice, verse 42. And said, blessed are thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Mary had never told her that she was pregnant. Mary had never told her that she had conceived in her womb. But she got a supernatural word from the Holy Ghost telling her what had happened. So God give us words, and they're from the kingdom of heaven. And when we begin to hear those words from the kingdom of heaven, see, what she got a word of, I said she got a word of knowledge, is a supernatural fact in the mind of God that has been revealed to us. And so she got this word of knowledge. And when she got this word of knowledge, and she spoke it out. She spoke it out to Mary. She said, and she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? So at this time, she knew that Mary was going to be the mother of the one who was going to come and establish the government up on his shoulder, and so of his kingdom there should be no end. For lo, as soon as the voice of that salutation sounded in mine ear, the baby leaped in my womb, and blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which was told her from the Lord. So as we begin to operate in this kingdom, and the Spirit of God reveal things to us, we have to be able to receive it. And then when we receive it, we have to know it's from the Lord. And when we know it's from the Lord, then we act on it. We have to act on what we hear. And then these supernatural functions begin to act in our lives. Turn to Romans right quick. And then we're going to turn back to Luke again. And we're going to see some more things. Like I said, we have to have a full conviction that Jesus himself modeled this Christian life for us. And once we get a conviction in our spirit, then we're gonna be able to operate in the kingdom of God the way God set it up. Here in Luke chapter 8, our apostle always tells us this is a spiritual chapter. And so whenever something come up, I can always go back and see how God operates through the Spirit. I want you to see chapter 8, verse 14. And remember what I said earlier, verse 14, say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Meditation scripture. Excellent. Again, I don't know if I use this one this year or not, but for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And verse 16 say, for the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So we got two verses here that tells us the Holy Spirit is the one who tells us. He's the one who let us know that we are the sons of God, our children of God. This is going to enhance your learning further on down the road as we get further into the our culture of honor, and we begin to talk about the law and the spirit of freedom and children of light. We're going to be able to get to see some other things as we go further. Let's turn it back to Luke again. I see which one I'm going to go to. Chapter 4. We're just going to read two verses in chapter 4. And Jesus, remember what I said, as men as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So, and here in verse, in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Unless we are full of the Holy Ghost, we cannot be led by the Spirit. So we have to be, first of all, full of the Spirit. So Jesus himself, he modeled this life for us, so he was full of the Holy Spirit. And so as he was being full of the Holy Spirit, he could be led by the Spirit. Turn to verse 14. This is after he had been in the wilderness. He had been out there for 40 days out in the wilderness, and he had been tempted of the devil. And so he overcame the devil. And the devil had to leave him for a season, it says. And so here in verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. So he's not only was he full of the Spirit, he also had the power of the Spirit. Remember, one of the things I said, we're going to operate in this supernatural culture. We have to have authority, and we have to know we have the authority to do it. And we also have to know that we've been given power to operate in this culture. In verse 14, it said, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the regions round about. And so when he came back, that's when he found out he had been given a ministry. He didn't just go in and take a ministry. He was given his ministry, and he found out what his ministry was. In Luke 4:18 is where he said he found his ministry. He went into Isaiah and it 61, and it says he began to read the scripture. It said the book was found, the place where it was written in the book. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is up on me because he hath anointed me. So God has put his power up on him to preach the gospel. God had anointed him. He dropped his Spirit down on top of him. So now he could go about and begin to do these supernatural acts that God told him that he could do. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book and gave it again to the ministers and sat down. And the eyes of all them was upon him in the synagogue, was fastened on him. And he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And so what it says there is that he received his ministry, and then everybody knew what Jesus' ministry was. And so you turn to Acts 10:37, you see what all everybody said during that time when he found out that Jesus said, I don't do none of this stuff myself. I can only do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is what does it for. He's in me, and he does the work. Acts 10. And we read through 38. It said, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace. Remember, he says, of his peace there should be no end. By Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee. That's where he was baptized. After baptizing with John to preach, how God anointed, put his power, gave him his ability, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. For God was with him. And so what Jesus found out, that he was sent by the Father, and one of the things that he found out he was sent, He was sent to reestablish God's kingdom in the earth realm. But in order for him to reestablish God's kingdom in the earth realm, he had to first destroy the works of the devil. So he had to come in, and whatever he saw in the works of the devil, 1 John 3 and 8, turn over there, see the scripture. Verse 8 says, he that committed sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. Then the B part of that says, for this purpose, the Son of God, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the Son of God. We are the sons of God through what Jesus did. So for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And we know God told us of in John 10:10, one of the things he said, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And if you're not living that abundant life, then we are living in the wrong kingdom. If we're Christians, we are living in the wrong kingdom. If you're being manhandled by sickness and disease, by lack and poverty, we are living in the wrong kingdom. We are being conformed to this world. And the word of God in Romans 12:2 say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, but that you might know what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so we know that God wants us to live that abundant life here on the earth realm. He wants us to live, since we are in the kingdom, since we are children of the kingdom, children of light, then we should live like children of light and allow none of the accolades of Satan to come upon us, but live in this abundant life. John chapter 13. Here in, let's go to 14. Here in chapter 14, one of the disciples came to Jesus, Philip himself, and he wanted to see the Father. And Philip came to Jesus, and he said, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus made a statement here in verse 9. He said, have I been so long with you, and yet has thou not known me, Philip? See, again, I said we have to have a conviction that Jesus himself modeled this Christian life. And the only way we're going to know this is by constant repetition, by constantly studying, and by constantly hearing what God is saying in his word. He says, have you not seen me? Has seen the Father. He said, verse 9, he said, have I been so long time with you, and yet has thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And now how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He said, verse 10, said, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? He said, the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. He's saying, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. You know, it told us in Luke 4 and 1. He said, he came out of the Spirit. He's full of the Holy Ghost. So he said, I don't depend on none of myself to do these acts that to operate in the kingdom. But the Father in me, he doeth the work. And so as we are ministering, as we're telling you, he said, do not leave until we get a full understanding. So when we go out to pray for people, and we we look at an individual who has been sick, and they say, I want you to pray for me. And I'm speaking to myself. First thing I think is that when I pray for them, that it's me who's going to do the healing. But it is not me who does the healing. And when I don't get, when the healing does not manifest itself, I look at me instead of looking at the one who told me that I can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, it is the Spirit of God, and I have to depend totally on the Holy Spirit to do the healing. That's why when I used to watch, I was smaller, and I used to watch people like Catherine Kuhlman on TV, and she would always rely totally on the Holy Spirit, because she knew it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't her that was laying the hands, that was doing the healing, but it was the Holy Spirit that was in her that was actually doing the work. So we in the kingdom, we get so caught up on ourselves and our gifts that God has given to us, because we have a word from God, we knew a few scriptures, and then we think we can go lay hands on the sick and they recover. But it's not us that's doing it, but it's the power of God that's in us. So we have to get that revelation. We have to be revealed to us that Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit, that we can operate in the kingdom, that we can get these supernatural manifestations in the earth realm that God promised us in the Bible. He said every promise in his Bible is yea and amen to us who believe. He told us that nothing shall be impossible to him. So when we run up on any type of sickness and disease, then we should know that with God, nothing shall be impossible. And so God, he said, I'm willing. First of all, we have to know that he's willing. And then not only is he willing, he's able to do those things which he say he can do. And so he goes on to say, he said, believe me that I am in the Father, verse 11, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Believe me for the very work's sake. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these, shall you, he do, because I go unto my Father. And so what he was saying, he said, now, if when I go to my Father, he said, don't leave Jerusalem. That's why, you know, he got back to that point. He said, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promise of my Father that I'm going to send to you. He's saying, I'm going up. I'm sit down on the right hand of God the Father. And when I sit down, then I'm going to send somebody to you to be your helper. He's going to guide you in all truths. He's going to be your comforter. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is going to come. And we have to have that conviction that the Holy Spirit is going to come and dwell on the inside of us. And he's going to be with us. And he's never going to leave us. And he's never going to forsake us. But we can quench the Spirit by not believing what he say and not acting on what he say. He said, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall you do also. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go to my Father. And so when he sent the Holy Spirit back, the works that he did while he was on earth, these supernatural acts that Jesus did while he was on the earth for him, we can do also. But we have to understand that we have to be sent. We can't just went. We can't go on our own. We have to be sent. Jesus himself was sent. He was sent by the Father. The Holy Spirit was sent. He was sent, and when Jesus went and sat back on the throne of God, as we study and see further, we're going to see whether the disciples were sent to do the work of the kingdom, and we have been sent to do the work of the kingdom. We have to begin to do the work of the kingdom. In this study, as I began to study, we found out when Jesus was 8 years old, he had his parents had went to the city, and they left him back in the city, and so they went a day's journey away. And as he had went away, one of the things he did, his parents looked out, Joseph and Mary looked out, and they didn't see him there. And when they turned around and went back into the city, it took them 3 days to find him. And they found out that he had been sitting down with the doctors and the philosophers of the time, and he was giving them answers. They was astonished at the answers that he was getting. He was only 12 years old at this time. But you think he went out in his ministry at that time, at 12? They was astonished at what he knew. But then the scriptures say he grew in wisdom and in knowledge. And they get on down and it say he grew in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and in favor with God and with man. So from the time he was 12 until the time he was 30, what was he doing? He had to sit and learn. He had to go back in submission to his parents. He had to sit there. And just like, you know, like I said, again, when we get a little knowledge, when we get a little understanding, we think God has sent us out to do some things. And so rather than being sent by the apostles, which is supposed to send us out, we always went out. And so we are out on our own and we're doing our own thing. And so when we do our own things, the power of God is not available to us and we can't operate in the kingdom because God is not God's doing, it's our doing. So Jesus had to go back, set in authority on his parents. And so he actually, from the time he was 12 to the time that was 18 years that he had to sit there and learn, and he didn't accept his ministry until he was 30 years old. He did not because he didn't know what he was supposed to be doing, but God, it was not his time for him to go out. We in the kingdom of God have to know when God is sending us out to do what he wants us to do. We just can't win. We have to be sent. Amen. We have to be sent. And so I want you to see that in the kingdom of God, we go as a ambassador of another kingdom. And when somebody else, when we go as an ambassador for another kingdom, we just can't go out and represent that kingdom of our own. We have to be sent. Myself, as Word of Life, as an ambassador for Word of Life Christian Center, unless my apostle send me to go somewhere in his name, I cannot go anywhere and say I'm coming to preach under the name of Word of Life Christian Center. I can go out as myself, but I can't go out as an ambassador. So same thing in the kingdom of God. When we go out as ambassadors for the kingdom, we have to go out as sent ones. And so again, remember Ephesians 4 and 11, that Jesus said, I gave gifts to men. I gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Father God, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father God, that your word have gone forth, that you told us to share with your people. We thank you, Father God, that we have seen and we have heard and we have understood what you have said to us. And we have faith to act on what you said to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.